The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Wrestling to the Max. SmackDown. Review. Hello and welcome to the Wrestling to the Max WWE SmackDown Live review for April 18th, 2017. And I am your host, Sean Garman. With me, as always, Mr. Paul Leeser.
Heyo!
So, well, we might as well start from the thing that everybody was talking about. Because it was what was everybody was talking about. That is not a typo in your description. That is not a typo on the website. It is not. You are not seeing things. Yes, in fact, Jinder Mahal is the number one contender for the WWE Championship with the match happening at their next SmackDown exclusive pay-per-view, Backlash. Man. Out of all the people that I thought could maybe win this This thing, I did not think about Jinder, but WWE finally decided not to hinder him and give him the ultimate opportunity, I guess. What do you think?
What were your thoughts, first of all, before, like, this match got announced on Raw? What were your thoughts on the match going into it? Because the internet just, like, what is WWE doing with all these guys? Like, nobody here has any momentum or anything like that. So what were your thoughts before
It's, you know, I was sitting there going, well, okay, Sami Zayn makes sense. Eric Rowan, Luke Harper. I guess you can tie it into the Bray Wyatt stuff. Jinder is just out of nowhere. Then who else was in the match?
Mojo.
Mojo's been gaining momentum, so okay. And Dolph is whatever. You know, he's there, right? So, yeah, it's just one of those, like, all right, well, we're just throwing some names in the hat. And, man, SmackDown is really thin on contenders. And why no Ty Dillinger? That seems kind of like robbery there, but.
Yeah, and it might just be because Ty has only been here for the same amount of time as everybody else in like 2 or 3 weeks. But for me, like it looked going into this before all the reports started coming out earlier today about WWE wanting to put over Jinder because they're trying to strengthen their audience in India once again and in all this other stuff and whatever. That they're actually, you know, they finally realized we have a whole bunch of mid-carders here who either have a whole bunch of nothing going or have had something going at one time, and we really need to get them going again. And that was what I thought they were trying to do with this match here. And I thought, admittedly, these guys, they got, what, 20 minutes of the show. They worked really hard. It was a very fun, fast, and chaotic six-way match. And I can't say I'm overly disappointed because Jinder comes out of nowhere. It's something new, at least, and that's what everybody always clamors about. We've seen Jinder have decent matches, if not recently. At least you can go back to the championship tournament in NXT. He's had some other stellar performances, and he can at least do something on the microphone. Like, he's not awful. And he's being paired up with the Bollywood boys here who have some interference, and like, I'm kind of interested just because of how out of nowhere it is and how just unexpected. Not to say that this is like the best move, because everybody on the internet's like shaking my head, Jinder Mahal, oh my god, he's terrible, whatever. But
yeah, I mean, it was like one of those really like what the fuck moments. Like, yeah. Wow, this happened. I can't believe we're really talking about this. You know, I agree with you to an extent. I think certainly it can be said that you can get different, but sometimes you go on the totally different end of the spectrum, and different isn't always good, right? So I would agree. I would say that if you're going all the way back to Seth Rollins and Jinder Mahal in NXT, that's a really long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's had sparse matches since then, so it kind of tells you where they've been with him. And, I mean, you know, Randy Orton isn't the guy I really want in there to be. I mean, yeah, people are probably going to be cheering him and all that stuff with the RKO and all that, but it's Chicago here we're talking about, and oh my god, I can't wait till we get all these gender chants, because you know what's happening.
I love a five-star wrestling bout as much as the next guy, right? But you're never going to know what you have with a lot of these guys unless you give them an opportunity, and that's what I always felt like people were complaining about, is yeah, there's certain guys that they want to get opportunities, like Sami Zayn or Luke Harper or Dolph Ziggler to a certain extent in this matchup. But I mean, there are other guys on this roster who have something different to offer. Jinder's one of them. And I mean, yeah, he's super roided up and all that stuff right now, but they've never given him a fair shot on the main roster at all. And this is certainly that at the very least, even if it does have different motivations behind it than, oh my God, we think you can be a guy. It's more like, hey, we're just trying to draw in a demographic.
Yeah. I mean, look, they can't bring back Great Khali, and technically he's from Canada, but, you know, he's repping India with his character, so, I mean, that's fine, and you bring in the Bollywood boys who are from there, and mm-hmm. you know, are they going to be a stable? You know, we'll have to see if that's going to be something, or if it's just going to be they're just, you know, some guys helping or whatever. I do like the idea of, well, now the Bollywood boys are on screen. It's another tag team they can use.
Mm-hmm.
They already have a gimmick. The problem is that their gimmick is very face-oriented, so
right.
You really can't go to the rings dancing and all that stuff, even though we'll see somebody still try to do it, even though he's supposed to be a heel on the, you know, the other show that we're going to talk about today. But
mm-hmm.
It's interesting, certainly. I don't think anybody should really be expecting anything from that match, because again, Randy Orton is not. He's somebody that I think works well when you've got a guy like an AJ or Sami Zayn or somebody that you know is a great worker, and then he can keep the, you know, slow methodical Randy Orton stuff kind of to the minimum, or you pick and choose when that's important. Whereas with Jinder, it's like, you know, the crowd's going to be fun because they're probably going to be rooting for Jinder,
because mm-hmm.
It's Chicago and they're going to do that. But, I mean, I feel like this might be one of those where the crowd's going to make the match more fun than it probably is going to be, and that's fine. I guess we got to go over under 10% Jinder wins.
Geez, under? Like, this just reeks of easy, you know, title defense to get Randy moving and all that. I mean, there's got to be a greater story here involved than just we want to put Jinder over to bring in a new demographic and all that. Like, there's either something else waiting in the wings to where this is like an almost throwaway title match that leads to something bigger at the pay-per-view or something like that, because I just, like, it boggles my mind to think that this could actually end the show and could get, you know, 15 minutes of time.
I'm going to go under too, but man, what an amazing event it would be if Jinder Mahal becomes WWE champion.
I mean, that's how you know maybe we're living in the Matrix, right? Is yeah. Jinder Mahal wins.
You know what? Vince is a crazy guy. I wouldn't put nothing past him at this point. Nothing at all.
Yeah, so, I mean, and we have time, too, so for all we know, Jinder could absolutely come out of nowhere and wow a whole bunch of us with promo work or something, or they book him right, or you know, there's a lot of factors that can get some heat behind this, but
He got heat when he won. So
I think that was more because, like, you pinned Sammy and, you know, it was almost go-away heat, in my opinion. But, heat is heat these days in WWE.
Yeah, I mean, nobody has more go-away heat than Roman Reigns at this point. At least from the male adult section of the audience. The other audience is over there on change.org trying to get Braun Strowman fired. So, you know.
Braun on Twitter is just a delight, by the way. And after that, like, oh.
He's great. So, you know, we also had another contender crowned on this SmackDown Live, and it was Charlotte coming out. She actually started the show. She came out and wanted to know why it's taken Shane and Daniel Bryan so long, as Daniel Bryan probably won't be on SmackDown for a while because Brie is apparently ready to deliver the baby at any moment. So we're going to get a lot of Shane McMahon here, and he eventually does show up. So Charlotte, you know, she wants to know why she's not gotten a SmackDown Women's title opportunity yet, especially considering her pedigree, you know, who her dad is, all the stuff she's done on Raw, you know, everything like that. Naomi comes out to kind of refute that, saying, like, hey, you know, if you want it, I'm right here, we can do this. And they get into it, start brawling, the referee comes down, like, we're going to have a match, and then Shane McMahon comes to stop it, and he says, oh, yeah, y'all are going to have a match, but later tonight, hey, do some promotion, that's not a bad thing. And he does tell Charlotte, you got to earn it, so you got to beat the champion to face the champion for the title. So you can imagine where that goes, but they do have this little interesting thing in between this with Natty, Tamina, and Carmella, where they are upset at the fact that Charlotte's basically just walking in and getting a title shot here. And you even throw in James Ellsworth, who also mansplains a little bit, so, you know, he didn't help himself there. Shane's reaction to the Ellsworth saying that Carmella needs to be the face of SmackDown was great. It's made the entire segment with one one reaction. But basically, you know, Tamina wants her shot. Natalya wants her shot, saying, hey, what do I have to do to get a shot? Well, apparently Shane says you just got to come in here and talk about it like Charlotte did. And it's those three sort of against Charlotte, and later on when Charlotte's going out to her match, they kind of form a wall and make Charlotte have to walk through them to go out to the ring, and they kind of do the tough girl act, welcome to SmackDown kind of thing. And you get your match, and I really enjoyed this match. It wasn't anything, you know, spectacular. Hopefully they'll get to do better at Backlash, or well, next week, which I'm assuming will probably end in some kind of shenanigans, and then you'll get your rubber match or whatever at Backlash, or maybe Naomi just straight up wins, who knows. But yeah, I like this from Charlotte kind of doing her thing, Naomi getting in there and getting to provide the exciting offense, and Charlotte gets that natural selection and wins, and number one contender.
I really like this matchup on paper. They're both two very natural athletes. They both connect well with the crowd, seemingly very, very easily. There's a lot to like here, but they don't have a lot of experience working with each other, and they don't have a lot of experience really working, I would say, long and great matches that, you know, that at least Charlotte got the reputation for in NXT. Naomi, obviously, late to or early to that show, but I like I said, I'm looking forward to the match. I think you see some flashes of some really neat stuff in the match, and hopefully, like you said, they can do better next week. But I don't know if I like Charlotte being slingshotted into this so easy. I kind of hope Naomi retains. I'd love to see them keep Charlotte away from the belt for a while, and just the whole division sort of poses against her to to try to keep her down, and like maybe she turns face and all this and sort of overcomes in a way. Like, that would be really interesting to me.
That's what it seemed like they were trying to do, is mm-hmm. is having your three heels on the SmackDown side with, you know, Nikki DeBella not being there right now. Sort of, you know, going against Charlotte, and I'm okay with that. You know, Charlotte, I mean, obviously Charlotte is a mega heel, and you could keep her that way. But, I mean, you need another face on SmackDown, and she can stand a chance, like you said, to be away from the title and go against those three in a variety of matches, or against all three of them, or whatever it is. I wonder if it's going to take the crowd a bit to get behind her, but that's on WWE, obviously, to provide a compelling story.
Right.
Of, you know, how are we going to get behind her and everything else. But, yeah, I think this is just to, well, we got the new person. Charlotte's obviously one of the big moves of the shakeup. Mm-hmm. People are going to be wondering about this. And I think it kind of just throws that out there. Like, okay, well, we don't have to deal with this again if we don't want to. Let's just go ahead and give her the match. Naomi wins, you know, kind of stands her ground. And then Charlotte can go to the back of the line or whatever they want to do with this, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe in the build, if you have it in the DQ because the other girls get involved. In the build-up to Backlash, which you got a while now.
Right.
You can have the others all get involved, and if, who knows, it turns into a multi-person match or whatever. But there's multiple ways they can go about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and Becky seemingly having issues with at least James Ellsworth, which I'm sure will lead to stuff with Carmella at some point. But, I mean, there's some stuff to explore here before we can get back to a title feud if we need to. That's sort of the interesting thing about the SmackDown Women's Division, is that while everybody is usually involved around the title picture, they can sort of take time away and not have a title match every pay-per-view, and then it can still lead to some nice build for other stories that they have going.
Yeah, certainly. And, I mean, they need multiple stories going on, so if they can do that, I'm all for it, because, you know, you got a limited amount of women on the roster. You're going to need to have more than one story going on, and hopefully this will kind of let them do that. And moving on from the two contenders, we have a tag team that is trying to make a name for itself here. And Primo and Epico, in a short match that had no heat, the crowd didn't care. And it's really sad how far American Alpha has fallen. Nobody really seems to care about them as far as the crowd goes. Obviously, you know, people like us that watch the show and know them from NXT, we enjoy them. We want to see them, we want to see them succeed. But they've kind of fallen flat as far as the crowd goes, because I think we talked about this last week. Just, you don't get character from them. You just get them being out there, going out there and whooping people. Now Primo and Epico, who are just dudes, now we're all about being the colognes again.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I kind of like it. I like that they're caring about their family, and even got to mention Carlito on Talking Smack. And though I gotta say, Talking Smack that's probably one of the worst Talking Smacks I've ever watched. All three of those interviews are just blah. But, you know, I don't know. I like it. At least they're not doing the Puerto Rico gimmick, because that was going nowhere, as much as, you know, we had fun with it. But, you know, I don't know. How do you are they doing something that you feel with Primo and Epico that gets you? You have any hope for them?
I don't know if I have any hope with them. I have interest, because like I said, they've been saddled with crappy gimmick after crappy gimmick for a little while, and it's sort of nice to see them try to be themselves and see if that can work again, even though they have tried this before. There's a little bit of a renewed focus on tag team wrestling with all the teams that are coming out of NXT, though, so they SmackDown just really needs to get it into their heads that these guys, they need promo time just as much as the women do, or as the main events do, or as the mid-card feuds do. Like, they're not, American Alpha isn't going to get over just on wrestling. As great at it as they are, that's not how you get over on the main roster. I mean, being a great wrestler certainly helps, don't get me wrong, but casuals and people who watch the main shows week to week and don't really care about NXT or anything like that, they don't know the journey. They don't know that these guys have a lot of character to them. They've been given slim to no opportunities to really show you that other than what they do in the ring from NXT. And that's great. They have babyface fire, but that's the entire gimmick so far. There's no, we're legitimate wrestlers. There's no, we're these guys. We haven't even gotten promos to say we're upset at the Usos or the Colognes for getting involved and costing them the titles. Like, this is booking 101 that they're not doing.
Yeah, it's just, you know, that's the thing. And like, they seem to, you don't have any kind of promo, like you said, for them to show any kind of being upset at pretty much. This is like a match that we're having.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost, you might as well just had American Alpha in the ring and had everyone Epico be the only ones getting in an entrance, because mm-hmm. it's almost felt like we're just out there to have them just do something for a couple of minutes, and that's not good. You need your SmackDown tag division to have other stories aside from what's going on with the Usos, and we have no idea who the... Do we have number one contenders for the tag titles?
No, this was the only tag team segment on this show.
So it's like, we don't even know what the Usos are going to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
We already, you know, we know that we have a limited number of tag teams on SmackDown that people care about. I mean, yeah, you've added two in 2 weeks
mm-hmm.
With Primo and Epico and now the Bollywood Boys, and Bollywood Boys are going to have to go through some kind of gimmick change that, you know, we don't know about yet. But this is American Alpha is one of your teams you should really be putting everything behind. And I know they did as far as, okay, well, these guys are great wrestlers. Let's go out there and have them be great wrestlers. And let's see if they get that pop that they did in NXT. And it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times, and SmackDown usually gets this, and that's what's weird, is that you're starting over on the main roster. You have to give them a window into why they were liked in NXT.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that we're seeing with Ty Dillinger, who had a promo, and he got to talk about why he's the perfect 10 and why people liked him, and you got a video package of why people liked him. And mm-hmm. Nakamura just... Not everybody's going to be able to come on TV and be... That is how you know he is an absolute star, one of a kind. That hardly ever happens. Somebody walks on to SmackDown and gets the superstar reaction like Nakamura does. So,
right.
You know, you have to do something. And it sucks for American Alpha because they deserve so much better.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And yeah, I mean, it's not like they just got over in NXT for being great wrestlers, even though they were. I mean, there's the whole story of Chad Gable trying to find a partner. He finally does, or Jason Jordan trying to find a partner, and he finally does, and Chad. And then they sort of had the build up and how they came together. And then suddenly they're in the tag team hunt. And like, you know, you have the long journey with them in NXT that you don't have on SmackDown. So the fact that they've given him nothing and seem to be relying upon NXT fans to make the noise, even though there's probably not so many of them once you get to some of these towns, you got to give us something more. And like you said, with Ty Dillinger, they did a really fantastic job with him this week, showing you his Royal Rumble thing. Like, they obviously want you to know that if you're in the live audience, when this guy comes out, if you're not chanting 10, you're doing something wrong. And they did a great job of showing you that this week.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, they didn't even have to really do anything with Nakamura. They just told you he was showing up. They showed you a package, and then that was it. Because they're treating him as a special attraction. Like, he's not going to be on
mm-hmm.
every week. And if he is, he's not going to be wrestling every week. At least to the taped TV audience. You know, he might be wrestling on for in the dark matches or whatever. But you know, just that's how you treat him, and Ty Dillinger feels special too. So you got to find ways to make all these guys feel special. And I think, you know, you're also missing. And that's what kind of sucks is that, you know, Daniel Bryan is much better at this than Shane McMahon. Of part of the reason why American Alpha were good is because they had some comedy in them. I'll never forget the little story thing that they did with them in the car, just talking about things and making jokes and you know, them trying to come up with things for their gimmick or their name or whatever. Like, those things were funny. Those things let you know about their personalities, and you don't get that at all. It's two guys that mm-hmm. are great wrestlers, and that's not enough for everybody.
Right. Right. That's especially true these days, where TV audiences are much more interested in characters than they seem to be the wrestling, even though when you get to the big shows, you have crowds there who want to see great pro wrestling. So,
I mean, that's the nature of the beast though, right? Like, it's been that way since the Attitude Era. Like, the TV people, they want to see different things than the pay-per-view, where you know you're there for 3 hours to watch matches,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, it's a bit different. It's unfair to them, but you got to be able to do both. And the guy that totally gets that, the face of America, Kevin Owens, he had his open challenge with Gary Gandy of Louisville, Kentucky. First of all, only in Louisville, Kentucky would you have a Kentucky Fried Yum Chicken whatever name of the arena. Okay? That... Right, just when I saw that, I was like, wow, this is just, man. I don't know that I would want my arena named that, but you know, Kentucky Fried Chicken, you just couldn't do your name. You had to do the stupid, whatever the slogan is for that week, too. That just looked silly. But I thought Kevin Owens was great as far as the whole making Canada evil and making fun of Kentucky, and he whoops Gary Gandy, and I thought we might get somebody come out when he said nobody could stop me, but nope, nobody comes out. And he basically says he leads you into the main event, which is AJ and Baron Corbin. AJ and Baron Corbin do have a little face-off because, you know, AJ beat technically he didn't pin Corbin, but mm-hmm. he beat him in the number one contender match. And then you have your main event, which AJ wins by countout. So what did you think of this stuff here to kind of wind the show down?
I love Kevin Owens, and I don't want that to be misconstrued here, but this gimmick of being the face of America doesn't really do a whole lot for me. And I respect the fact that they're going for a change and all that here, but being the over-the-top snobby prize fighter that he was, I found way more interesting. But, I mean, Evil Foreigner Man always seems to draw some kind of heat, and maybe that's just what they're going for. But the gimmick he had before this was tailor-made to go against AJ Styles, who is the face version of that very same gimmick, and just watching them try to outclass each other is going to be phenomenal TV, no pun intended, to watch every week between these two once we finally get past Payback here. And it seems like they're more on the Evil Canadian front than prize fighter front, and that's a little depressing to me.
I get you. Yeah, the prize fighter thing was always a great deal for Kevin Owens, but you know what? I give him a lot of credit for wanting to change himself, you know, wanting to evolve a little bit, taking from, you know, the guy that he worked with a lot in Chris Jericho and saying, okay, look, I've got the U.S. title now. Let me do something a little bit different. And mm-hmm. I agree with you that his previous gimmick was a bit more, it was like a bit more believable, more real. You could totally go with him of, okay, I just want to win and I'm doing this for my family, and I'm trying to, you know, provide for them
Mm-hmm.
without taking away who I am either. I'm just gonna beat you. I don't care about you.
Right.
And then here we are on the face of it. I think he's great either way. I think he, as the time goes on with this gimmick and he actually gets into the feud with AJ and then whoever he goes on with after this, I think he's just, it's going to keep getting better. I think we're in the, you know, early stages of it or whatever. And by the end, we're going to be loving it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe he's just going to take a couple of great promos to win me over here, but it's a character to me that lacks depth, where the previous one he was playing on Raw had so much more to it, too. And yeah, I mean, he had the great feud and story with Chris Jericho to help him along, but that character was just so much more interesting than this, where he's just, America sucks, and I can speak French, and yeah, you guys suck, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's like, he's so much better than that, right?
Exactly.
But, I mean, it is Kevin Owens. I'm sure he will make it work.
Like I said, I have no doubt that he can make it work. It's just me growing to like it or love it is either going to take some time or it might not happen, and I'm just going to have to deal with the fact that Kevin Owens might not be the most interesting person on the show anymore.
That's sad.
Yeah.
But what did you think about this main event with AJ and Mr. Corbin?
I thought this was fine. You had the heat comes at the end, obviously, with AJ getting like back body drop pretty much onto Kevin Owens at the announce table, which was a fantastic spot, by the way. And then we have a brawl, and then you get the phenomenal forearm to knock Baron Corbin over the barricade and everything. And no surprise that Baron is being protected here. He's been protected, I think, for a long time on this show. And I felt like what we got here was good. It could be a lot better, obviously, but this was, what, 13 minutes of doing stuff and trying to make sure that Baron doesn't look so, I don't want to say green, but less developed, you know, still, you know, he's still learning, obviously. And, you know, I mean, it's going to take some time for him to get there, but I think he can do it. Like, I think parts of what the WWE has seen in him for so long are finally starting to show through. And it might just be because of the talent he's working with here on SmackDown, but I feel like every week we get to see more and more of what WWE has seen in him from the very beginning.
Yeah, I definitely do agree with you that, you know, I've said he's taking advantage of talking smack and improving himself microphone-wise.
Mm-hmm.
He's gotten his character sort of down. He's been improving, and I can give him a lot of props for that, because a lot of guys will just take that, oh, well, I already know management likes me and all this stuff. And he's really actually has tried to improve himself.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you put him in there with AJ, and, you know, it's going to be something worth watching at least. This was sort of also, you know, there's an angle there and everything. So
right.
That kind of brings it down. But I didn't get to watch this because my power went out right when this match was about to start. So. And then it came back on when SmackDown was over. But, yeah, I mean, there's your SmackDown for the week. I mean, I didn't feel like this was a standout show at all, but you do have some, obviously, Jinder Mahal being number one contender is going to be something we're talking about for a long time, just from the sheer, I can't believe they did this.
Right. Not as good as Raw this week either, but, I mean, it's still a very focused show. The wrestling isn't as good. You can question the Jinder Mahal decision up and down, but I'm going to try to take this as well as you can and see what he can actually bring to the table, because I think this is one of the first times we're actually going to be able to see what he can actually do. So, I'm 6.5, what I'm leaning towards?
I was just going to say a flat 6. I like that they went ahead and went with something that nobody expected in Jinder Mahal. I like that they followed it up on Talking Smack, but none of those interviews that they had with Primo Nepico, him, or Charlotte were anything. I felt like they were just rushing through Talking Smack, honestly. And, you know, you have Charlotte being a number one contender. We'll see where that goes. They're leading interesting stuff with her, with the other ladies, and you're trying to get Primo Nepico over, and Kevin Owens had a fine thing, and you know, AJ is AJ, so, you know, it was a show. I'll give it a 6. I'm sure people will watch it for the Jinder Mahal thing, but I'm not going to say you're not wasting your time, because that match was actually pretty good. I enjoyed that match.
Yeah.
Especially for all the people that were in it. So, props there. But yeah, that's going to be SmackDown for this week. Make sure you also check out, you know, our other shows. You got the Raw review with Paul and Gary. You got the W10 Part 1. We talked about Bray Wyatt being upset about stuff, ROH TV, and a few other things in there. There's the 205 Live review that we're going to do in a little bit here. And, of course, want to make sure that you're there this week for NXT review. And, of course, whatever is been going on for W10 Part 2 with that Impact review, Superstar of the Week, and all the other stuff that we normally do. So... and make sure that you're hitting subscribe if you like what you heard on whatever device thing that you like listening to podcasts on. Hit that subscribe button. It helps us. And what even helps us more is if you hit the review on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever it is that you listen. If they have some kind of way that you can hit a star button or a review or have a written review, that helps even more. So it'd be great if you could do that. And of course, visit WTimNet.com where we have these podcasts. We have written stuff from, you know, sports, games, and wrestling as well when we can get in, we can get on that. So until we meet again for SmackDown, see you later, everybody.
Have a good one, guys.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.